Hello and welcome to Intellectually Shallow, overanalyzing the mundane for not more than 14 episodes.
How many, Matt?
14.
14.
I think it's 14.
He thinks. He said 15 last week, but now he's been recounting and realized.
I'm like, it's 14. I'm like, I can't keep track of anything.
He skipped two whole episodes,
y'all. It's my attention deficit disorder.
Oh, bleh.
A one, a two, 14.
Oh, my gosh.
That's how I count.
Yeah, apparently. So 14, Holy Mother of Mercy.
Well, you know who counted even worse than me? Whose calculations are even more off than mine?
Who's?
The dude who predicted
End of the world.
Oh, the rapture.
So freaking ridiculous. Okay, so I don't have cable.
Yep.
And I haven't had cable for a very, very long time. At least, what, 3-4 years?
I don't know.
Maybe?
You tell me.
4 years. I think it's been
I only know you for about 5 months.
I think it's like 4 years. I had basic cable for a little while when I lived on the hill before. Mm-hmm. But it was because it came in free in our apartment because it was awesome. But yeah, I don't do cable and I don't own a television. I actually haven't owned, I own a television, but it's been in storage. So I haven't actually had one for over almost 2 years now. So I didn't even know about the end of the world. I woke up whatever day that was. What day was it? Thursday?
Thursday,
right?
What?
Yeah, Thursday, end of the world, right?
No, Saturday.
Oh, was it? See, do you see how much I don't even pay attention to these things? Okay, sorry.
The guy's name was Harold Camping.
So Saturday, I woke up. Wait, before we even start.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm going to backtrack and I'm going to explain to you why I really don't even care. Because after 19 months of being in storage, Matt, I have a bed. Okay. I am not sleeping on the floor. I have been sleeping on the floor for 19 months.
Wow.
Yes.
Why so long?
Because when I moved back in town into Portland, my bed was on Peaks Island. I lived with my aunt out there.
Okay.
And I was supposed to move out there to start school because she was like, why aren't you in school? And I was like, because it's expensive and I have bills to pay and I can't be in school and work at the same time. And so she was like, move out here for free. And I was like, huh, okay. And then she changed her mind once I moved out there, like within like 4 months.
Really?
Yeah. I sold everything except my bedroom. And she was like, yeah, changed my mind. So
I don't want you slacking around my house.
Well, no, I think what she thought was that she was going to get a friend, like somebody to talk to. She lives by herself. She's in her 60s, which she's really good alone. She likes being alone. But I think she kind of was hoping that maybe sometime I would like chill out. Yeah. Like 23-year-old. No, I'm not hanging out on Peaks Island. Sorry.
Especially not in a winter time.
No. I mean, at winter I was home, but in the weekends, during the week, I was working and I would come home. On the weekends, I would leave Friday for work and I wouldn't come back until Monday after work. And I think she wasn't expecting that. So she asked me to leave, which was really crappy because I just told you, I had just started my business with that $1,000 savings that I had. And so I literally was, 2 months into my brand new business and had nowhere to go. My older mates had found an apartment. And so a friend of mine let me move in with her, the Meredith who came. Meredith let me move in with her, but she has a lot of stuff. And so when I moved
into her, you didn't need anything.
I couldn't fit anything. I needed everything. I couldn't fit it. When I moved into her apartment, I slept on the floor and I slept there until I moved out and moved back up here into the hill just recently with my current roommate, and my bed's been on the island. And for a while I didn't have the money to get it because I'd have to pay for a truck over there.
You have to freight it, put it on the box.
No, not freight it. You can't freight it. You can only freight it this way. You can't freight a mattress the other way. Because you have to pay to get it freighted.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they'll put anything on the boat if you pay them.
Yeah, but I'd still have to get a truck to get it to my apartment.
That's true.
So it would have to
or
pay
a friend with a
or
truck.
Somebody with a truck or somebody with a big enough vehicle.
Yeah.
So I'd have to pay for the vehicle to the island, get everything done, and then come back. Mm. I just haven't had the money to pay for the ticket for the whatever. But anyway, I got a bed. So I got a bed Friday. Enjoyed my bed all day Friday. I slept for 10 whole hours Friday night in my brand new bed and woke up to somebody saying something along the lines of, so what's up with the end of the world? And I was like, what the F are you talking about? I have an awesome bed and I don't care.
And, it's the end of the world as we know it. And Renee feels fine.
Abso-frickin-lutely. I feel awesome. I have slept 3 nights in a row in my awesome bed and it makes me so happy. It's warm and cuddly and lots of down things and makes me happy.
I was seriously looking forward to the rapture, to be honest with you.
Oh, jeez. Why?
I really was.
Why? For what?
I was the positive spin. No more people screaming about God at Tommy's Park. Mm. Bonus.
Yeah, kind of, except you're assuming that the person screaming into Tommy's Park actually is faith-based and has a pure heart. He could be screaming and not have a pure heart. He might still be here after the rapture. It's not about what he's screaming. It's about what he lives.
Renee?
Yes?
Don't harsh my mellow.
But that's what I do, Matt. So my friends,
you know I was looking forward to the apocalypse.
And it didn't happen, and on top of it not happening.
I thought it was really cool.
You know, some dude decided.
It would kind of suck. You know, the only thing, you know, you'd have to live in a really bad Kirk Cameron movie. Because he's the one who...
Is that the Avatar dude?
Nope. Kirk Cameron.
Wait, I don't
Kirk Cameron was the kid on Growing Pains. The boy.
Never watched it.
With Alan Thicke.
Don't know who that is.
And he went total Christian.
Oh, okay.
And he did a movie based on the Left Behind series. You know what that is, right?
Nope.
Well, Left Behind series is a series of books based by these two guys. I can't remember the author right now. And they wrote a whole series on basically the rapture came.
Mm-hmm.
And so and it's based on this one. I never read them. They're actually downstairs in my condo in the library. I thought about reading them just for the hell of it. I love
That's
that
awesome.
Stuff. And... And it's
Tim
LaHaye
and Jerry Jenkins.
Yes. And so the whole theory, this is like after the rapture, you know, this one guy, he somehow wasn't saved or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was left and it was all about like, you know, sort of the time between the apocalypse and the rapture.
Okay. So it looks like there's 12 whole books.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, and I thought I should read those because I think those might actually be bad, but in a good way.
So have you or have you not?
I have not.
Okay.
I may go try to see if I can find the movie. I'll see. You know, someone told me I could probably download things from the internet for free, but I've never done it, and I don't know anybody who does. But I did read in an on a forum somewhere online that you can.
Oh, cool.
So,
the titles.
And I would never do these things, but I heard you can.
Indwelling. The titles are kind of.
But that's the only way I'd see it.
Yeah, kind of okay. Left Behind, the first one, which all of them go after.
And actually, I was really looking. I did a little surfing. I couldn't find it. I was trying to find the theme from The Omen. You ever watch the movie Omen?
Nope.
Well, the whole Omen, it was like a 70s movie. And they had about three or four of them. And the story was the Antichrist comes to Earth. And he's a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And so they try to stop him. But they have these like demon power. He has like these demon powers. Whenever something bad would happen, he'd go, dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. If I do any more, I'll have to pay ASCAP money for copyright infringement.
Okay.
But I was trying to look for that song.
Wait, if you sing something, can that be considered copyright infringement?
I think you're allowed so many bars it could be for parody. You know, actually, we could probably pass it off as parody purposes. Or you can have a certain, I think part of it is you can have a certain, amount just for like critical stuff if you're like commenting on it.
Mm.
Or like if you consider it's a parody, I think you can get by without having to pay.
Mm, okay.
You know, so I guess if I use that tone, it would be sort of a parody.
That would be a parody. Well, no, because I was thinking seriously, like how I'm going to, well, we're talking about music and I can't find everything, but I was trying to figure out another way to do it and I could sing it.
No, because that's the same.
But no. Okay.
If you're like the band and you're the guy that wrote the songs,
that would be
usually get most of the money.
Yep.
From the catalog.
Okay.
So
just wondering.
Yeah, you can't sing it. No, okay. Sorry. You could download from the PodSafe music, which you know I imagine as much junk as there is anything else.
It's really hard to find what I already know.
Yep.
So it's right now I'm spending time just sifting through and finding stuff that I can share that I like. But I'm good at what I know, not what I don't. And there's a lot of what I don't.
One thing about those little samples and if it sounds cool.
Yeah,
that's how I found the original theme song, by the way. Off Pod Show. Or Pod, you know, music.
I don't even remember what the original was. I know I heard it, but I can't even remember.
Podcast, freaking podshow.com.
Oh, okay. Oh, like a bank of stuff you can just...
Yeah, it's all Pod Safe Music.
Gotcha.
I think it's called Music Alley, actually, now.
I don't know.
And so you can... That's where I found the original theme song.
Okay.
For my old
show. I'm going to have to keep like doing more searches.
We looked around for music and I said, we played the intro to this song. And it's like me and Kate both said, bing, that's it.
Well, as long
and it worked out really well because everybody liked it.
Oh, good.
And I'll say the band one day. I usually advertise it.
Yeah, can't remember what it sounds like. I don't know if I've heard it. Maybe.
And so.
So anyway, your point of all of this was.
Yes. All the Jesus freaks would be up in heaven and I would not have to hear their bullshit.
Hey, I consider myself kind of a Jesus. Well, not a freak, but definitely a Jesus enthusiast.
You don't scream it in Tommy's Park.
No, I do not scream it at Tommy's Park at the top of my lungs as I'm judging people who I don't know as they're walking by. No, I do not do that.
Yes. I figured the rapture did not come on Sunday because they were screaming in Tommy's Park.
The rapture didn't come because people are idiot and only God knows what God is going to do.
Or I had my other theory. You know who died this weekend? Macho Man Randy Savage.
Oh, dear God. Again, I don't know who this
old school
is,
wrestler.
Okay. I know the name. I know
he
the name.
He also did Slim Jim commercials.
Mm-hmm. Snap into a Slim Jim. Yes, now I can put the face to the name. Okay. Yeah, okay. I remember now.
So now.
Oh, poor Mr. Savage.
He died. He had a heart attack while he was driving his car.
How old was he?
A heart attack. I don't know.
Too many freaking Slim Jims.
Go look it up. But my thing was, maybe. Here's my whole theory about the apocalypse.
Okay.
About the whole rapture thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe Randy Savage was the only one worthy of rapture. And the Armageddon has begun.
See, as I don't know the man, I can make no comment about that.
But, You know, Renee, you know what you need to do?
What do I need to do?
Snap into it, Renee.
Oh, gosh. Wow. We're going to totally pretend you didn't just say that. Oh, gosh. Randy Savage.
Yes.
He was almost 60. He would have been 60 on his next birthday.
You know, probably a career of taking steroids and getting beat up a lot. It does not add to your longevity.
And eating all those damn Slim Jims.
I don't know if he ate as many Slim Jims as he talked about on TV.
Probably not. I do.
I remember one time I was eating a Slim Jim and I was walking down Congress Street. And some smart alecky girls hollered down and she goes, "Step into it." I'm like, "Shut up, bitches."
Wow.
Step into my Slim Jim.
He held 20 championships during his professional wrestling career.
Oh, you know, what you have to understand about professional wrestling.
Yeah, I don't.
There's a lot of championships.
Yeah, I know.
Each state has a championship. Then there's the regional championships. There's the American championship. Don't forget about the U.S. championship.
Does anybody do wrestling the way that we do wrestling as far as this sport and like this type of wrestling, not like real wrestling? Does anybody else have showcased entertainment-based wrestling the way that we do?
Mexican wrestling.
Yes, that's right. That's right. What do they call them? There's a name, right?
Yeah, I don't know what it is. It's Mucha something or other.
Hold on. You're thinking of Nacho Libre.
Yeah, but that's actually, you know, there's some basis in truth on that one.
On Nacho Libre?
Yeah.
Figured. Yeah. That's what I figured. But it's got to be... okay.
And they're even more over top than American wrestlers.
Yes, that's what I've heard. They are crazy over the top.
And they all wear masks.
Yep.
Really certain wrestlers... wore masks when in America. Well, I don't think even wear masks anymore in like professional wrestling.
Lucha libre.
Okay. So I was sort of close.
Kind of.
You know, I remember when I was a kid in the 70s, we had, you know, wrestling kind of was big, but it was sort of on the wane. But down south, it was totally big. And so what happened is it was huge, even in the 70s. And are you playing footsies with me, Renee?
No.
The cat.
Wow.
I was like, Renee.
I have really, really short legs. They wouldn't reach.
You were really complaining about me last week. About, oh, it's the cat.
Because you do play footsies. Your legs are long. Okay, so big in the 70s.
Big in the 70s. I used to get, you know what TBS is now?
TBS, yes.
TBS. It used to be WTCG Channel 17 in Georgia.
Oh, my.
And all like the cable stations in the South. I used to have Georgia Championship Wrestling. Oh, it was my bet. It was awesome.
Oh, my God.
You had, you know, I didn't really even care for the wrestling. but they stabbed this guy named, his name was Dick Slater. He was the, he was the Georgia champion. He was the Georgia champion.
Oh, my.
And so what he would do is he would cry.
What?
He would, every show he was like talking on, he would cry.
Like TV show.
Like, yeah, he would like, you know, I don't know if you ever watched wrestling on TV, right? Well, it used to be they'd have the matches, but then they'd interview the wrestlers, which they still do, actually. So he would cry.
Like after he won or lost?
Nah, he was just talking.
Oh, okay.
And he'd always go, I'm the Georgia championship and no one can take that away from me, and start bawling.
Oh my gosh.
Gordon, this is because the announcer was Gordon, name was Gordon Solie. And so one time, Mr. Wrestling number two, as opposed to Mr. Wrestling number one.
Of course.
They were masked. If you didn't have like a real name, you were generally masked. You were generally masked or you were ethnic.
Oh wow, okay.
Like, for example, you know, there was Baron Von Rajke.
Oh my gosh.
You had a title. Or wow. If you were like there was this one dude, his name was Igor. He was Polish.
Yes.
And he used to wear these yellow wrestling tights with like these weird boots and had like the bushy hair. And like, it was like, I think it was like one of those Greek fisherman caps. And he used to always come in the ring eating a kielbasa.
Oh my God.
I'm telling you.
Eating a kielbasa.
Oh, it was bad.
That is awful. Have you seen the,
there was another one. Talk about racial stereotyping. There was a black wrestler. You know what his name was?
Mandingo?
No, not close. Close. You were mighty close. Bobo Brazil.
Oh no. No.
Yes. And this was on television.
No.
I saw Bobo Brazil. I actually went to a wrestling match.
Bobo Brazil.
I saw Bobo Brazil beat Blackjack Mulligan for the US title.
Blackjack what?
Mulligan. He was a white guy.
Blackjack Mulligan. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Mulligan. He better have been a white guy.
He was like a white cowboy guy.
Oh, my gosh. Bobo and Blackjack.
Yes.
Awesome.
And so that's my one and only professional wrestling match.
Wow. Okay. And
I'll tell you one thing. Let me tell you about these wrestling matches. There's one thing you have to watch out for. What? You know who are the worst people in a wrestling match?
Who? Women?
Old ladies.
They want to see blood, don't they?
They're like, go, Bruno, go! You know. Oh, yeah, they're crazy. And they're the ones, you know, something about menopause makes them just lash out in the ring.
Wait, menopause? Women who go through menopause are not old?
Well, these are, post-menopause.
Okay, thank you.
No, I'm not saying during menopause. We're talking about post-menopause.
Yes. Okay. Post-menopausal women are.
And people, when, you know, back in the day, when you were 60 years old, in the 70s.
That's true.
But
not anymore.
Not anymore. But, you know, they'd be all hollering and screaming and lunging at the wrestlers. And, oh, really? They were the worst.
Oh, my gosh. I love it. I love it.
And it was really bad.
And it was really bad.
And it was awesome. All the same.
Well, rest in peace, Mr. Savage. Rest in peace.
And truthfully, I really wasn't that much into the wrestling, but all my friends were, so I went to the matches. And I thought the drama was more interesting than the actual match.
Oh, of course, that's how these things work, though.
But by then, you know, now everybody knows it's just an event. Mm. You know, it's just a show.
Yes.
But even then, people still thought it was a sport.
My grandmother in South Africa watches wrestling like it's a real sport. When I went home in 2001, sitting in front of the television, my grandma's like, you want to come watch TV with me? I was like, yeah, sure. I went over and I'm like, this woman is like, no. And like, I'm like, you do know this is not real, right? She's like, what? You know what? Don't try and play these games. She swore. And I was like, okay, I am not going to burst this woman's bubble. She's 60 something. I'll let her have this.
Well, was your grandma the kind of person that would, like, if she saw somebody that was in a soap opera on the street and holler at them about how horrible they were to their wife?
No. Okay. No.
But, you know, actually, I remember as a kid.
But she really did think wrestling was real.
You know, they used to tell us I used to watch like, these soap opera stars. They'd go on these talk
shows.
Young
and the Restless. And
yeah. The old ladies would holler at them and act like that they were real.
Wow.
Like they actually, you know, that it wasn't, that it just
that it
wasn't
was
a script.
No, no, my grandmother wouldn't. She's no. At least she knows that much. But yeah, no, she just, they grew up in South Africa. And she's in from, we're from South Africa. So we have nothing. Entertainment isn't quite the same here as
well,
it is there. And
it's probably
so
not as sophisticated.
They don't have quite. No, it's not. But on top of that, like we have so much stuff here. As Americans, we're used to paying attention to everything as far as people's lives are concerned. Over there, things are so basic that,
yeah,
you know, the entertainment they have is very, also very basic. And so there's a lot of stuff over there that they wouldn't even watch because it would be pointless to them. They would be like, really, you spoiled rich bastards. Get off our television.
What do you mean? What would be an example of
like
that?
I mean, they watch, it's amazing how everybody watches soap operas over there. Like it's this, like at 5 o'clock, mm-hmm, literally like 4:30, the streets are empty. Like I remember my first week there, I was like, what's going on? And people go inside literally for like 2 hours. They watch their soaps and then they go out back outside. And the way, like here we spread it out. We spread it out through the day so that people who watch soaps can watch their soap through the day. They kind of start around like 11. You get Young and the Restless and then you get Bold.
Usually till about 3:30.
Till about 3:30.
And then the talk shows would kick in.
Yep. They spread them out for a few hours. Not at home. They don't kind of spread them the way we do. They kind of play them all at once. Mm-hmm. So you pick your favorite because you can't watch all of them at once like you can here.
Well, there was always each soap. I remember as a kid, my mother loved the soaps.
Mm-hmm.
My grandma loved the stories.
The stories, yes. They still call them stories at home. They still call them stories. Here, you can kind of pay attention to more than one, especially now with cable and timing and everything. But at home, you pick your favorite.
Or you didn't even have to watch them now. There's other things on
there. Yeah, there's exactly. We have all kinds of other
things. When I was a kid, that's all there was from 11 to 3. We didn't have the Cartoon Network. So I'd sit there with my mom
and
watch soap
operas. Stories. Oh.
My mother would fall asleep. I'd still have to watch a stupid fucking story.
And they're about 6 months behind us.
Yep.
So they're really behind
us. Actually, most of there's not very many soaps on anymore.
Yeah, they're slowly going. I think Bold and the Beautiful. No, General. Was it General Hospital? One of them just left.
I think it was General Hospital.
General Hospital, I think, yeah. But yeah, they're still huge over there.
You know, like in Mexico, they have their own soap operas.
Yes.
And they're way more like
telenovela.
They're more like big. Like always dramatic and everybody's big.
I never got to watch telenovela
makeup
until I moved to Boston. Oh. It was awesome. Awesome. Because it's still Mexicans. It's like, it's not like it's Young and the Restless or Bold and the Beautiful where you're dealing with like, I mean, there are a few, you know, characters with the telenovela who are like rich and, but it's still pretty poor, which is hilarious.
No, most of those soap operas, it's just like American soaps. It's just rich Mexicans as opposed to rich Americans.
But that's what I'm saying. It's rich Mexicans, not rich Americans.
No.
It's still very, I mean, it's rich, but it's not quite the same. It's hilarious. I love it. I love watching it. I don't understand anything. It's the dramatic, dramatic flair.
They speak with their hands so much.
Yes. And their eyes. I love telenovela. Yeah. Wait, we went from wrestling to talk shows?
Well, because I just mentioned that, you know, because wrestling was on like 11. Usually the news, they had the noon news.
Okay.
Game shows were in the morning.
Yes, 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 yes.
Then.
Still are.
Talk shows noon to 3 for the product. Talk shows, but soap operas noon to 3.
Well, now they do have talk shows during the day too, but yes.
Yeah. Well, there's only when we have 3 channels.
The judges.
The law shows.
The law shows. Like.
Judge Judy.
Yes. Which is still on.
Oh, yeah, it's still on.
Yeah, still on. She's still on. Wow, she's old.
You know what?
Wait, when was that? Yeah, I'm totally,
You know, Renee, don't pee on my leg when it's raining.
Okay. Fine. It was a question. Age is just a state of mind.
I don't know. It's been around a while. It's still on.
She's still on. Judge Judy's still on.
You got your Judge Joe Brown. You got
the People's Court.
The People's Court was the original.
Yes, the People's Court is still on.
With Judge Wapner and the trusty bailiff Rusty.
Yeah, no longer either of them.
No.
Now it's I don't know his name.
There was whole religions formed around Rusty. the trusty bailiff.
Are you kidding me?
There was a political party.
You know, it's hilarious. A lot of these judges' bailiffs, they actually have like fan clubs. Oh, Judge Joe Brown's bailiff, he's a cute little blonde. He's adorable. Yeah, women come in there. They're like, I really just wanted to come and see you. It's hilarious. And Judge Joe Brown's like, really? He's like, yeah. Okay. Yeah, these bailiffs have their own fan club.
Contempt of court. Put him in the can. If I was the judge, I'm like, damn.
He's adorable. But yeah, these bailiffs, they get their own little. I'm sure they get their own little.
Frosty was no pretty boy.
Mm.
He was like a retired court. He was a pretty old guy even then.
Gosh.
And he was just sort of like, you know, really just, one step from being the security guard. You would think he would be the guy that would like, you know. He reminds me of the guy in my parking garage a lot.
Oh. What does that mean?
Like where I have work, there's a guy that lets me, the parking garage dude, reminds me a lot of like Rusty, the trusty bailiff. He's about the same age.
Okay.
You have no frame of reference whatsoever.
Nope. But
no problem. But I mean, it's like just a kid. It's like, you know, he's very mellow. You know, he doesn't say anything except for maybe announces when the judge comes in.
Comes in, yeah. Oh, see, now the new guys, the younger guys, they say a lot. They actually have like, they say more. Yeah, they do more. They move around.
They step out of line.
Yes, you know, they're allowed to.
Real bailiffs don't mouth off to the judge.
That's what TV has done to us.
Everybody's a freaking actor. You know, trusty bailiff Rusty doing the shut the hell up, which is all the time.
Some people just don't. Hey, you know what? I'm realizing more and more, I'm having less and less patience for people who just don't know when to shut the hell up. And I'm realizing that the people who don't know when to shut the hell up are people who are just always freaking entitled. And that's what it's come down to, is the people that take me off the most are not people who are ignorant because they don't know better, or people who just don't know any better because they're just stupid. It's people who know better and choose to act like freaking morons. That's yeah.
I don't know if I've ever told you this story.
No, I don't know. Let's see.
Okay. Things have so much of a sense of entitlement. My father, right, mm-hmm. had this squirrel. He was home all day. He's retired. And the squirrel would come up to his porch in the summertime. And my father would give him a peanut every day.
Oh, very nice.
Yes. One day, right,
mm-hmm.
he did not have any peanuts.
Oh, gosh.
The squirrel came up, jumped on the table on his porch, and started squeaking and squawking. Where's my peanut? Demanding the peanut.
Mm-hmm.
My dad said, no more peanuts for you. There's nothing I can't stand more than a sense of entitlement. Even the squirrels are, you know.
Wow, Dad.
Oh, one time. Speaking of squirrel stories, I was in New York in the spring. Or was it the fall? It was in the fall. I went to visit my friend Kate.
Mm-hmm.
On my way home from my dad's house. Who is
not the Kate you worked with, a different Kate.
The Kate that was the Tales from the County Kate.
Okay, same Kate.
She lives in New York now. And so I went to visit her. And we were at Washington Square Park in New York City. And we were just sitting around. I had a pretzel or something.
Mm-hmm.
And the squirrel was running around. And the squirrel was ballsy enough to climb up this girl's boot looking for like a piece of popcorn or something.
Wow.
Man, the squirrels in New York are rough, man. They work it. They're ballsy.
Well, yeah. They're New Yorkers. I'm learning that all New Yorkers
New Yorkers have to hustle for a buck.
Yeah. Imagine what their squirrels have to do.
Okay. Those squirrels got rent to pay.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm ruining your cat's playtime. Have we gotten to a story yet?
Not really.
Oh, my bad.
Since
we're speaking of entitlement.
Yes, Renee?
Nothing. Go ahead. You were saying.
Okay.
Where are we starting?
I've got to get on the wrong. I got to get on the right program here for a sec.
Okay.
We are starting with breaking rules. There's an article here, and it was in EurekaAlert.org. Breaking rules makes you seem powerful. Los Angeles, California. When people have power, they act the part. Powerful people smile less, interrupt others, and speak in a louder voice.
Entitlement.
When people do not respect the basic rules of social behavior, they lead others to believe that they have power, according to a study in the current social, psychological, and personality science.
So see, when I interrupt you, it's because I think I should have power. That's what that article just said.
Yes, Renee.
Mm-hmm.
People with power have a very different experience of the world than people without it. The powerful have fewer rules to follow, and they live in environments of money, knowledge, and support. People without power live with threats of punishment and firm limits, according to this research team led by Gerben van Kief of the University of Amsterdam.
Hmm.
We're going to put this thing on pause really quick because
the cat is having a heyday.
The cat is getting in range.
He's trying to play with everything. And well, found a really new cartoon that's okay. Awesome.
Oh, you did?
Yep.
We started recordings. So you found a really new cartoon that's awesome?
Yep. Well, not new, sorry. I found a new cartoon for me.
Okay.
Or to me that's awesome. I work with kids, so I'm always looking for new stuff. And it's not completely appropriate, but it's definitely not inappropriate for children. My 7-year-old watches it. She doesn't completely get it, but it's kind of funny. It's called Invader Zim.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Yeah, it's actually kind of really hilarious. It's really gross. Like, it's definitely made for kids. It's definitely made for kids. Lots of, like, weird, gross, disgusting noises and oozing things.
Renee,
and what?
I'm interrupting you.
Okay, go ahead.
We'll get back to this.
Oh, yeah, sorry. You were reading an article. But, yeah, to be frank, I thought we weren't taping anymore. But go ahead.
We are taping it.
Now we are.
Oh, we have been for, like, when you were talking
about it. Well, I know, but when I said it, I didn't think we were taping originally. Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
Sorry.
According to the research team led by Gerben van Kief of the University of Amsterdam. Because the powerful are freer to break the rules, does breaking the rules seem more powerful?
Yep. No, it's just stupid.
You're giving away the end, Renee.
Oh, I haven't even read this article. My bad.
People read about a visitor to an office who took a cup of employee coffee without asking, or about a bookkeeper that bent accounting rules. The rule breakers were seen as more in control and powerful compared to people who didn't steal a coffee or didn't break bookkeeping rules. Acting rudely also leads people to see power. People who saw a video of a man at a sidewalk cafe put his feet on another chair, drop cigarette ashes on the ground, and order a meal brusquely thought the man was more likely to get to make decisions and able to get people to listen to what he says than the people who saw a video of the same man behaving politely. What happens when people interact with a rule breaker? Van Cleef and colleagues had people come to the lab and interact with a rule follower and a rule breaker. The rule follower was polite and acted normally, while the rule breaker arrived late, threw down his bag on a table, and put up his feet. After the interaction, people thought the rule breaker had more power and was more likely to get others to do what he wants. Norm violators are perceived as having the capacity to act as they please, write the researchers. Power may be corrupting, but showing the outward signs of corruption make people think you're powerful. So basically what they said is,
if you're a rude person, then people perceive you to be powerful.
If you act powerful, people think you are powerful.
No, I don't think that's what that said. I think that said if you're a rude person, people perceive you to be powerful.
If you act like the rules do not apply to you.
There you go.
You have power. You act like you have power.
You act like you have power. People perceive you to have power. That doesn't mean you actually have power.
But
that simply states that people treat you like you have power. And the reason that people who do that is because they don't really have power. It's because they're acting like they have power, which null and voids the complete power. People who really have power don't actually act. Most of the time, who have real power and have employees and care about people, don't actually act like that because they don't want to piss people off. They want people to work for them. They want people to do their job right. So you don't act like a complete pompous ass when you really have power. Rubbish. Continue.
Well, this is a little more scientific than your opinion, just so
it's
we know.
Rubbish.
So the key, let me give you a little word I've learned in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Perception is more important than reality.
Absolutely. I'm not arguing that at all.
So people perceive you to be powerful.
Makes you powerful.
You are powerful.
Yeah.
Because power is just one of those things getting people to do what you want.
Power.
That's the reason ladies love the bad boy. Because he acts like he has power. And it registers, maybe not on the conscious level, but on the unconscious level.
It's just one person being able to manipulate another person's insecurities. That's all power is.
Okay.
You make another people...
Everybody has insecurities, Renee.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But that's all power is being able to work with another person's insecurities for whatever reason they are. Nobody would walk into a meeting late with me because by the time they got there, I would have left. So if you let people act like that, then yes, they act like that. You give them the power. they don't really have the power. If somebody showed up 20 fucking minutes late to a meeting with me, I would have been gone because I get there 15 minutes early. So no, he doesn't really have power in my eyes. He's acting like he has power. That's what I mean.
Okay. You're just way too awesome.
I am. I really am. I'm just going to keep saying that.
Okay. Okay, Renee.
What? I'm serious, though. Yes, research shows that these people reacted this way to this person because, but I'll
tell you the truth. Yeah. Let me give you a little scenario in your personal life.
Okay.
Let's put it this way. If you were talking to someone who had like three buildings and mm-hmm. you were trying to get the contract to clean them
mm-hmm.
and they were 10 minutes late.
I wouldn't be there.
Yes, you would.
No, I wouldn't. I absolutely wouldn't. No, it's a business arrangement for me. You are supposed to respect me just as much as I've left. I've done that. I've actually left. If somebody showed up late without telling me they were going to be late, why on earth would I feel like I have to sit there for you? You couldn't have the common decency as a human being to call and say, I'm running a few minutes late. Can you stay? Absolutely. They have no idea what I'm doing. They have no idea what my plans are for the day. I might have a meeting directly after this. Of course I'm not going to fucking wait for you. Are you kidding
me? Let's put it this way, Renee. It was $1 million contract.
I'd still not wait.
Yes, you
no,
would.
No, I absolutely not. See, and okay. This is the thing. No. People have to understand how I work. For me, it's about respect. It's about figuring out who you are as a person. If you can't respect me, your business isn't worth it for me. $1 million or not. Sorry. If I was a real business person, if I was a real professional and someone who had real power now, as somebody who has no power, absolutely. That's what I mean. People with entitlement use other people's insecurities and vulnerabilities to get what the power that they want. If right now in my state with no money, yes, absolutely. I'd wait 15 minutes if you were late. If I had real power, no, I absolutely wouldn't wait.
Well, let's put it this way. Let's put another scenario here.
Okay.
You were going to meet with like somebody at immigration.
Yes.
And if you left that meeting, you would get deported.
Oh, no. Immigration is a completely different story.
They have power over you.
Absolutely.
And you're going to wait.
Absolutely. 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 They have complete power over me. That douchebag who decided to be late has no power over me.
Yeah. What I'm telling you is, if someone has power, real power over you, you will wait.
Absolutely.
And
real power. But that's my point. That's my point. Yeah. Real power. Like I said, the douchebag in this article, not real power. Well, that to me isn't real power.
What the thing is, they said that it's just more of like if you act like, not necessarily, I think that's just sort of like the extreme level of that. But I think if you act like, you know, you don't really worry about the rules, not necessarily, you know, that being rude necessarily. But if you have the idea that you act like you don't really care what the rules are, you definitely look like you're more powerful.
Mm. No, I can get that.
And not necessarily, I'm not saying, you know, you don't have to like spit on the carpet or anything like that, but you just have to like, you can't do that. It's against the rules.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And if you just do it anyway.
Well, yeah, because I mean, that's why peer pressure works. Because people look up to people who go against the grain. That's how that works. That's why peer pressure
is the opposite of that.
What?
You know, you succumb to peer pressure. You follow the rules of the group that you're in.
But that's what I mean. Even if it's bad,
I'm not saying.
That's why, when I say, sorry, negative peer pressure, that's why negative peer pressure works. Because even if you know it's bad, it's what the group is doing.
You're following the majority of the group.
Of the majority, absolutely.
You're still following rules.
Yeah, but.
Yeah. So, but the guy that actually makes the move and does something crazy, he has power because everybody follows him.
Mm-hmm. That's why I'm a leader, not a follower. Always have been. I like it best that way.
Okay, right.
Mm-hmm. What? What? You say that like I'm not serious.
Oh, I believe you.
Okay, good. So long as we're on the same page.
Looks like the cat has found himself a...
Nice quiet spot. I didn't even see you there, homie.
He's between the mic and the computer.
It's probably warm there.
He doesn't care.
Oh.
He's got lots of fur. This cat's got a shitload of fur. He's never hot. He's never cold.
It's cozy. I like warm. That's why I say that.
Speaking of power.
More power.
See, it seems like this has been a theme. I found topics.
Lots of power.
Lots of power.
I wonder, well, no, media works that way. But anyway, go ahead. Nothing. I'll keep that thought to myself. Okay. Oh, are we doing the more powerful people?
No, we'll go that one next.
Okay. Where are we?
Henry, here's a dude. He had, he had some money. So he had some power.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be funny.
Man started a scholarship program to satisfy his spanking fetish. Henry Fitzsimmons owns the Envy Bar and Grill in Virginia Beach, but he's a 54-year-old guy with a spanking fetish, which means it's probably not easy for him to lure young babes to his lair for some playful rounds of getting smacked on the ass with a riding crop.
Little do you know, people. Little do you know.
So Henry came up with a novel idea to lather their willingness. He's a disciple of Dorothy Spencer, who wrote a book in 1936 on how mutual corporal punishment could bring about domestic bliss. In essence, Spencer advocated that married couples spank each other whenever one violated house rules. That gave Henry the idea of developing the Spencer Scholarship Program. Students and women in need could apply for scholarships and money from Henry. In exchange, he could spank them whenever they violated the rules of his program. According to the woman, Henry was far more interested in his getting his inner perv on than he was in fostering their well-being. Duh!
Hello!
Hello! Hello! For that, you should probably get a spanking. At least five women have gone to police saying Henry spanked them over a five-month period using straps, belts, and a horse riding crop. It seemed the spanking could get quite violent. Henry gave them bruises and welts so they couldn't sit down. He also refused to let them leave if they didn't agree to the beatings. And one woman says Henry beat her with a leather strap in exchange for her picking up the tab for her daughter's birthday party. He's further accused of using objects to rape the women. Henry's now charged with abduction, assault, sexual penetration, and sexual battery. But he does have what may be an interesting defense. He claims the program was completely voluntary and that all the whipping was entirely consensual. I think some of it was consensual, but I think he took it to the next level. That would be my guess. Especially when you're raping with the objects. I think he stepped out of line.
Okay. I'm reading the actual contract these women signed.
Yep.
Okay, go ahead, continue. I don't know if you have
any... Oh, that was it.
I have a lot. I kind of in my head right now, squirming around. So I guess this comes back to FET and me and my experiences with FET, FET life.
Okay.
I think it's kind of hilarious. And again, yes, nobody should be raped unwillingly. Abso-freaking-lutely not. And
Rape implies.
Sorry, nobody should be raped. Excuse me. Well. Again, I'm on FET life, so that changes completely for me. Because on FET, there's something called consensual non-consent. So, again,
I think that's more. I would my personal definition.
No one should be raped. It would be absolutely
that would
not.
Be a role play.
No one should be raped. Well, that's the point of it. It's supposed to be as close to real life as possible.
Yes.
So it technically isn't role play because with role play, you get to kind of know what's going on. With things like that, if it's a consensual non-consent, somebody gets to do what they want when they want. You have absolutely no say. That doesn't necessarily mean role play because role play is back and forth. But anyway, so rape. No one should be raped ever. It's an awful, awful thing and it's terrible. And I know women who have been and been in situations where I was involved with that. So no. However, I'm reading the contract. And at any point, if any woman, I think, if it were me, if anybody did anything to me at any point that I didn't like, with the exception of literally being able to not defend myself, I would immediately say no and stop. And if that was the case, I would then not go back to the person who did these things to me. And I would report it immediately, not months later, if it was really a violation of anything. I'm reading this contract. And as of yet, from the article and what this contract says, this man really hasn't violated anything.
Oh, here we go. Go back and read. It says rules and regulations.
I haven't finished it, but so far, like I said, I'm just getting there. You hadn't finished your contract. The article.
I read ahead a little bit here.
Okay.
Basically, there's rules. Basically, that's the rules everybody signs under. Care must not be taken to to cause significant bruising or injure the body in any way.
Okay.
The punishment should be continue long enough to be truly effective and impart a beneficial lesson.
Okay.
The discipline must continue until you feel your partner is truly contrite, sorry for what they have done, and will use their best effort.
Okay.
A spanking must never be administered in rage.
Mm-hmm.
Spanking over the incident must close. So this is like, you know, I don't know. You know, so this is just, I guess he ups it to the, he also increases here, he goes up into, like, belts and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll tell you the truth. I think it's just, people do anything for money.
Absolutely. And now somebody's feeling bad about what they've done because they told somebody probably, and that person went, really? You let someone give you money for that? And now they're feeling guilty or bad or shameful or whatever it is that's going on. And so now people want to say he did something bad. Look, you signed a contract that said a man could beat you for money. Let me just make that clear as day. You signed a contract that said a man could beat you, not beat you, excuse me, harm you physically. You harm you. I mean, spanking, if, as far as I know, most of my white friends bruise pretty quickly. It doesn't take much for me to bruise them. So if you're telling someone they can spank you, mm-hmm. I'm going to assume you have to know what you're getting into. If I sign this contract or... Yeah, if I sign this contract, I'm hoping I know what I'm getting into. I don't... It's like screaming rape... without ever, sorry, rape's again, a bad word to use. It's crying wolf, but you signed a contract for it. Rape, no, don't agree with it. And if he did violate these women in that way, then absolutely he should be prosecuted. But you're crying wolf for something you cried, you signed a contract for.
And it's, you know, it's sort of like, I wouldn't necessarily call it, you know, there's date rape.
Yeah.
It's sometimes date rape. I don't know, I have a hard time. This is kind of a, area for me that I feel kind of strange with. Sometimes it really is someone you knew totally just overwhelmed you.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you feel a little regretful after the next day because you
absolutely
just don't like it.
I've had friends who cried rape when it was just a guilt thing.
They felt guilty about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I feel it's a little like that. That'd be my guess.
Yeah. Well, in here it says the woman. And this is what I love. She goes on to say all these things this man did and then also acknowledges that she accepted him to pay for her child's birthday. As payment, she would get spanked and then was upset about the spanking she got. You accepted him to pay for it and now are upset about it. No, it doesn't work that way. No. Just man up. You're a freak. Man up. Let your freak flag fly. Let your freak flag fly. If you like getting spanked, honey, just say you like getting spanked. And if you don't like getting spanked, now you know you don't like getting spanked. Walk away and have some experience under your belt. OMG.
You know, I think there's a little bit of like, how dare you let someone do that? You must have not really meant to do that.
Mm.
Why would you do such a horrible thing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, all this like emotional pressure
mm-hmm.
to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of actually admitting... that you just made a mistake.
Let your freak flag fly. Let your freak flag fly. That's all I say.
Okay. What was the big news you were in? You told me like before we talked.
My bed.
That. Oh, your bed.
My bed.
Okay.
I have a bed.
Very exciting.
Yes.
Our fans are breathless.
Hey, it doesn't matter what they are. Okay. I am. That's all that matters.
Renee got a bed.
I did. It's my... Matt, I've had this bed for 5 years and spent more than half of it not sleeping in it.
This is true.
That's awful.
Well, were you sleeping on a futon on the floor or something?
No. Well, I had like a... It wasn't really a futon. Some clients of mine on Peaks Island had this awesome like... you know those big wooden chair thingies that will have like a pillow cushion in them? Like, I don't know, like a beanbag type thing, but not quite...
Okay.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Like the wooden frame. It's like a wooden frame and it has like a futon type, seat. And they're really big. They're round. They were huge in the 70s.
Okay.
Oh, those big like.
Yeah. It's almost like a giant wicker chair.
Yeah. Yeah. They were. Okay. Yeah. It's like that, but it's from Thailand. It's not filled. It's not made of the same stuff. It's like a bean that's inside. So it's a little bit firmer, which is what I needed because I need firm my back issues. Mm-hmm. So that's what I've been sleeping with on the floor. It's about this thick.
Okay.
On the floor for night Oh, God, 20 months. October, November, December, January, February, March, April, May.
No wonder sleeping on my couch was like 20 comfortable.
Months. Yeah, 20 months. I've been sleeping on that thing for 20 months on a floor. Yeah, your couch was amazing. That's why I passed out.
I was like, geez, no wonder. Actually, you know, you could have, I had an air mattress.
Oh, no, that couch was fine. The honey, the floor probably would have still been fine. I'm so used to it now. My body was done. Anything would have been marvelous. But your couch, it okay. absolutely worked. But yeah, that was my big news, my bed. Because it really is big news.
Well, there's a new study that explains why powerful people think they can get away with shit that other people don't get away with. Sort of leads into the whole, you know,
entitlement.
Not really entitlement. It's a little bit of that.
Breaking
rules makes you seem powerful.
Because
when you have power, you feel the rules don't apply to you. This is an old one.
Cat is adorable.
It's an article in Science Daily. It's been around a while, but I figure it makes sense with all this shit going down. 2009 may be well remembered for its scandal-ridden headlines, from mission of extramarital affairs by governors and senators, to corporate executives flying private jets while cutting employee benefits, and most recently, a mysterious early morning car crash in Florida. That was Tiger Woods.
Oh.
We'll skip all that crap. The past year has been marked, blah, blah, blah. New research from the Kellogg School of Management at Northwestern University explores why powerful people, many of whom take a moral high ground, don't practice what they preach. Researchers sought to determine whether power inspires hypocrisy, the tendency to hold high standards for others, while performing morally suspect behaviors oneself. The research finds that power makes people stricter in moral judgment of others while being less strict of their own behavior.
Judge lest ye be judged.
The research was conducted by Joris Lamers and Dietrich A. Staple of Tilsburg University in the Netherlands, another Dutch study, and by Adam Galinsky of the Kellogg School of Management at Northwestern University in Evanston, Illinois. The article appeared in a forthcoming issue of Psychological Science. The research is especially relevant to the biggest scandals of, 2009. For instance, we saw some politicians use public funds for private benefit while calling for smaller government, or have extramarital affairs while advocating family values. Similarly, with CEOs of major financial institutions accepting executive bonuses while simultaneously asking for government bailout money on behalf of their companies. According to our research, power and influence can cause a severe disconnect between public judgment and private behavior. As a result, the powerful are stricter in their judgment of others while being more lenient towards their own actions, he continued. To simulate an experience of power, the researchers assigned roles of high power and low power positions to a group of study participants. Some were assigned the roles of prime minister and others civil servant. The participants were then presented with moral dilemmas related to breaking traffic rules, declaring taxes, and returning a stolen bike. Through a series of 5 experiments, the researchers examined the impact of power on moral hypocrisy. For example, the one experiment, the powerful participants condemned the cheating of others while cheating more themselves. The high-power participants also tended to condemn over-reporting of travel expenses. But when given a chance to cheat on a dice game to win lottery tickets, played alone in the privacy of a cubicle, the powerful people reported winning a higher amount of lottery tickets than the lower-power participants. 3 additional experiments further examined the degree which powerful people accept their own moral transgressions versus those committed by others. In all cases, those assigned to high-powered roles showed significant moral hypocrisy by more strictly judging others for speeding, dodging taxes, and keeping a stolen bike, while finding it more acceptable to engage in these behaviors themselves. Galinsky noted that moral hypocrisy has its greatest impact among people who are legitimately powerful. In contrast, a 5th experiment demonstrated that people who don't feel personally entitled to their power are actually harder on themselves than they are on others, which is a phenomenon the researchers dubbed hypocrisy. The tendency to be harder on the self than on others also characterized the powerless in multiple studies. Ultimately, patterns of hypocrisy and hypocrisy perpetuate social inequality. The powerful impose rules and restraints on others while disregarding these restraints for themselves, where the powerless collaborate in reproducing social inequality because they don't feel the same entitlement, Galinsky concluded. So basically what they said is, if you have power, the rules are for the common people.
Can I just point out that the third to last word was entitlement, which is what I said.
Your favorite thing in the world.
To beginning this article with. That it's all about entitlement is what it all comes down to.
But they did say that people that had real power felt more entitled.
Yeah, absolutely. It all comes down to entitlement.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is...
And they probably feel that, you know, I have a feeling there's a feeling of, you know, if the common people don't follow the rules, there will be chaos. But if they do not follow the rules, that's just them, you know, that's their prerogative.
That's what they've worked their ass off for. They get that now because they're in the position that they are.
Yes.
If they don't work their ass off, it doesn't change the way that things function. It simply just allows them to do what they worked to be able to do.
Yes, very much so.
Absolutely. Entitlement.
So, you know, when people act out, guess what we do? Guess there's a whole industry set up to record the transgressions of the rich and famous and powerful.
That is what public media is for. What are all these news and not news? Are entertainment ET and Entertainment
ET,
Tonight?
TMZ,
and,
yeah, Perez, yeah. Oh, Hilton. Yeah.
Absolutely. That's what all of this is. This is all about.
You know. And what else? Who else is one of those like that? Would be like us. We always talk about celebrities. Not
say
as
what?
Much.
We always talk about what?
We're just part of it. We do feed the machine in our own way.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. That's really.
Here's a. Nope.
Sorry, I get distracted by the cats because I don't have them in my own home, and so what they do is funny.
Okay.
Sorry.
So, here's the article. It was an NPR. This is actually pretty new. It's May 20th. Human brain is wired for gossip. This is an NPR.
Where is it? Gossip. There it is. Peace.
Psst, psst, you can read this one if you want.
The human brain is wired for gossip. Hearing gossip about people can change the way that you see them. Literally. Negative gossip actually alters the way that our visual system responds to the particular face, according to a study published online by the journal Science. The findings suggest that the human brain is wired to respond to gossip, researchers say, and it adds to the evidence that gossip helped early humans get ahead. Huh. Gossip is helping you to predict who is friend and who is foe, says Lisa Feldman Barrett, distinguished professor of psychology at Northeastern University and an author of the study. Barrett is part of a team that has been studying how gossip affects not just what we know about unfamiliar person, but how we feel about them. The team has shown that getting secondhand information about a person can have a powerful effect. But Barrett and her team wanted to answer another question. Once hearsay has predisposed us to see someone in a certain way, is it possible that we literally see them differently? That may seem like a strange thing to ask, but it makes sense when you consider that the human brain has a whole lot of connections between regions that process visual information and areas involved in our most basic emotions, Barrett says. So, the team brought in volunteers and had them look at faces paired with gossip. Some of these faces were associated with negative gossip, such as threw a chair at his classmate. Other faces were associated with more positive actions, such as helped an elderly woman with her groceries. And then they have this like chart, which goes A through F. And A, the face is of a man, I think. And then they just have these weird stuff underneath it. But the researchers looked to see how the volunteers' brains responded to the different kinds of information. They did this by showing the left eye and the right eye of each person very different images. So one eye might see a face, while the other eye would see a house. These very different images cause something called binocular rivalry. The human brain can only handle one image at a time, so it can unconsciously tends to linger on the one it considers more important. The researchers found that volunteers' brains were most likely to fix on faces associated with negative gossip. Gossip doesn't just influence our opinion about people. It actually influences how you see them visually, Barrett says. The findings suggest that we are hardwired to pay more attention to a person if we've been told that they are dangerous or dishonest or unpleasant. Other scientists say that makes sense from an evolutionary perspective. It was actually pretty excited to see this paper, says Frank McAndrew, a professor of psychology at Knox College in, is it Galesburg?
Galesburg,
Illinois. Excuse me. For years, people like me have been saying that our intense interest in gossip is not really a character flaw. It's part of who we are. It's almost a biological event, and it exists for good evolutionary reasons. Even when primitive humans lived in small groups, they needed to know things like who might be a treat.
That'd be threat.
Treat. Who might be a threat and who was after a particular mate, McAndrew says. And learning these things through personal experience would have been slow and potentially dangerous, he says. So, McAndrew says, one shortcut would have been gossip. People who had an intense interest in that. And that consistently... Wow. Let's try that again. People who had an intense interest in that. That constantly were monitoring who's sleeping with who and who's... Wow. Sorry. It's the cat. I'm completely distracted by the sound of the cat. I'm trying.
You need to pretend like the cat is not there. Keep reading. Because you know what? It's probably, you know, it's...
It's my ADHD. I'm sorry. It's a noise, you know, in the other realm of something. And
I got some Ritalin if you want to take.
I don't do pills. Okay, let's try this again. People who
don't have any Ritalin, so don't worry. For the record.
People who had an intense interest in that constantly were monitoring who's sleeping with who and who's friends with whom and who can trust and who can't and who you can't. Come out ahead, he says. People who just didn't care about that stuff got left behind. And it makes sense that our brains pay special attention to negative gossip, Andrew says. If somebody is a competitor or somebody is higher than you in the food chain, you want dirt about them. You want negative information because that's the stuff you can exploit to get ahead.
So that explains why old people go crazy about the stories. They actually literally believe all that whole gossip and they... And their brain processes it, and they think that, you know, they act like those people are real.
Wow.
On a total emotional level.
Wow.
Like I've always said, most of our instincts have been developed in small hunter-gatherer groups. And this is just one of the things that proves it. You know, really, our technology, our communications technology has evolved way faster than how we make judgments.
Mm.
Because really, most of these things are very valuable, you know, if you're in a hunter-gatherer group of a small group.
You have to make quick decisions.
Quick decisions or you're dead.
Absolutely.
You know, you have to make, there's bad people, they look different than you over mm-hmm. the hill, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Odds are, they probably are going to attack you.
Mm-hmm. They speak different, they dress differently, whatever, yeah. Absolutely.
And they actually are going to attack you.
Absolutely.
So you, and the people that acted without thinking and just did it, survived. While the people didn't know, died.
Yeah. But
so these things built up.
Absolutely.
For a long, like we're talking, you know, I think it's like 100,000 years.
Wow.
We've only been really civilized for maybe 5.
Okay.
Maybe even less than that. Like Egyptians,
yeah,
Sumerians.
Yeah, probably less. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We, okay.
You know, so 5 or 10. So we spent a lot of time in hunter-gatherer groups.
Instinct.
And we developed all these things. They're not going to, you know, so basically they're not going to go away overnight because mm-hmm. we have not. Our senses are evolved to survive in small groups. And so that's why we like gossip.
We do like gossip.
That's why there's racism. That's why, you know, there's like, you know, vengeance.
Hmm.
That's why we like the death penalty. You know, things like that. And don't necessarily appeal on a very emotional level as opposed to a rational, intellectual level.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, when people want to kill somebody, there's really no rational reason to do it.
No, it's for emotion.
Like, for like the death penalty for a criminal.
No, it's definitely emotional. Mostly emotional.
Because A, it doesn't really prevent crime. B, you can't save money because it costs more to put somebody to death that doesn't keep them in prison forever. 3, you know, it just doesn't make any sense. I mean, so it's mostly all emotional. I don't know what the third one is. I don't think of it one day. But so these are just all things that killing somebody, right? Mm-hmm. If you lived in a village and these people were like horrible, you couldn't just put them out because they'd come circling back. So you had to kill them, and to develop, to actually make that happen, these emotional things have developed. like vengeance and things like that.
It's very rare that somebody wants to kill somebody or is okay with killing another person because of logic.
Well, I'm talking more of, I'm not so much like murder, like you, I would kill
well,
you.
Well, yeah, that's what I, well, even that, like in the sense of like what you're saying about now with putting like, someone to death.
As an instrument of punishment for
yeah,
the state.
I wouldn't naturally, logically want someone to die, but if I was emotionally whatever, yeah, I'm going to want
you know, it. Most things have, you know, most things have, our instincts have developed, you know, as a group dynamic, really. Mm. Keep, I want to pause and I want to freaking do something about this cat.
Please and thank you.
Okay. So basically, we're back. I put the thing downstairs. The cats are making all kind of noise because Renee has an attention span of a gnat.
Hey, hey, hey. I have an amazing attention span, but I'm not good with sound. I can't deal with the distraction in the background.
There's always a caveat, Renee.
Oh, my goodness.
Always a caveat.
I'm sorry, but I'm pretty sure you even just mentioned that they are louder than normal. So
they are definitely a little
do
crazy
not sit today. Here and make me feel like an idiot because it's not just me.
But I was successfully ignoring them and you were not.
They don't, they're not my cats. You can successfully ignore them because you love them. They have no emotional attachment to me. And so therefore it's freaking annoying. So here we are again about that emotional attachment to things.
No. It's not that. It's just that, you know, I have a job to do, and I soldier through.
Yeah, no. I would have been fine, but
okay.
No.
Yeah,
I don't want to be.
Okay.
It's not a matter of choosing. No. I choose not to be okay with it. That's the point I'm trying to make, is I don't want to have to ignore it.
like we were almost done.
Hey, look. Narcissism is fitting me well.
Your sense of entitlement to having a quiet
damn
space
straight
in.
Absolutely. Look, I told you.
You know what? If I was my dad, I would not give you a peanut.
Then I might. Then I couldn't.
Because you have a sense of
entitlement.
No, that's
okay. Then I wouldn't have come back. That's how that works. That squirrel probably figured out. Oh, nope. Okay. No more.
No peanut for Renee.
No peanut. So screw it. I don't come back anymore, dude.
No sense of entitlement.
Of course I have a sensitive entitlement. I'm awesome. I'm willing to totally acknowledge that. I have a you know what? I realized growing up in the state gave me a sense of entitlement. I didn't realize I was an entitled person until I left Maine. I think as somebody who grew up from childhood here, there are just certain things that I grew up with in this state that I didn't realize were not normal in other places. And then I moved to Boston and I hated everyone and all the things that I didn't like. I was like, what the F? But that's what I got at home. And people are like, Renee, that's not normal.
What do you, for example?
For example, our pedestrians. I have decided that our pedestrians are some entitled bastards. Any city you go to other than here, with the exception of like Vermont, which again, I don't know if they really have a city there or anything. Once you hit Boston, let's just say Mass, you get to a place where you know as a pedestrian, you watch and you walk when you can. And if you go when you're not supposed to, sucks to be you. Not Maine pedestrians.
Well, Portland, specifically.
Portland. Yes, I was getting there. Specifically Portland pedestrians. And it wasn't until I went to Boston that I realized I was an entitled pedestrian because I just assumed
people
would stop for me because I grew up for 20 years here and that's what people do. And I got to Boston and nearly got run over several times because I wasn't used to it there. So, the same thing goes for certain foods. Like I grew up in a state where we're fairly conservative and have some really amazing resources. We have a lot of money. Commercial Street, Brown Trading Company. I grew up with that stuff in my backyard. I love food. I love good food. I don't like just food, but I love good food. We grew up with fresh things here. I grew up with fresh produce almost every single day in my house. Not everybody gets those things. And I never had to think about it. It's just something that's kind of part of Maine because of our farmers and our whole grocers and things like that. I didn't realize how entitled I was until I left the state and realized how other people grew up and it wasn't anything like me. And I had to kind of adjust how I dealt with certain things when I left Maine. So yeah, that's what I meant by an entitled person.
Okay.
I absolutely am. Yep. Uh-huh. I am entitled and I'm okay with that. I'm just learning how to make other people realize that they should be okay with it too.
I understand, princess.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm not a princess. I'm a goddess. Let's get that straight.
Sorry, princess.
Goddess. Goddess.
Okay, princess.
Really?
Moving on.
Mm-hmm. You're going to keep playing then. It's
moving
okay.
on, princess.
I know I'm a goddess. It's okay. I don't like princess. I don't like princess. It doesn't fit me as well as goddess does. I've always just been a goddess. Moving along.
It's because you don't like being called a princess doesn't mean you aren't one.
Oh, I didn't say I wasn't one. No, I just said I don't like being called a princess.
Okay. So I guess we're
over an hour.
We have a show.
Oh, we didn't even get to Family Guy. Damn.
No, we didn't.
Okay.
Well, you want? We can talk about it. We got.
Well, no, I was just. We had. Was it last week or week before? Do you remember the hysteria?
I don't remember.
I think it was the week before last. We had some kind of an article about hysteria, and we talked about people being ridiculous. And then I happened to watch an episode of Family Guy where there's something going through the schools that isn't really anything, and Homer freaks the F out and takes Meg and what's the boy's name? Chris out of school and decides to homeschool them. And it was effing hilarious. So yeah, it was just about the whole hysteria and people taking things on when they really shouldn't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wasn't that funny?
No, it was funny.
It was funny, but you know.
But not like topic, like hour worth conversation. No, yeah. I just wanted to mention it, that it came up is all.
Okay.
Just again, like the man bites dog. When these things come up in my daily life and I know that we've discussed them, I take them down and then I decide to talk about them.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we can get back to our stuff. We're an hour 12.
Wow.
So you can email us at intellectuallyshallow@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
Voicemail at 207-619-3862. You can Twitter us at iShallowShow. And if you search Facebook, you can find our group. And you are more than welcome to find our group.
Please do.
And usually when I usually do most of the posting for the iShallow show. It's mostly the show coming out, and I've been using it lately for things I've been thinking about, just to generate a little traffic and generate a little interest. So if you follow me, you will be enlightened beyond all your imagination. While being entertained simultaneously.
Oh, look at that. Matt covers all.
And?
Or most. And?
You know, and I'm not a huge tweeter, so I will not overwhelm your lists with just everything.
I don't tweet at all.
I only tweet things that are interesting or funny.
But I'm paying attention now more, so that's a step, right?
And so, you know, or I'll retort. I'm better at retorting. I'm not really that great at generating things, but I'm better at, like, retorting other people's tweets, like.
See, but that's all I get from your tweets when they come to my phone, and I'm like, I have no idea what this means.
Well, if you use the phone, you could, if you click on, you can pick up the, there's a threaded conversation. The at sign, it'll be like at somebody else's name.
Mm-hmm.
That's who I was responding to.
Okay, because it comes up on my phone. It says, iShallowShow, and then it says, whatever you said. It comes up as a text. I don't know how to, right?
Yes.
Does it say at someone?
Yeah, if it's a response to somebody else's tweet, if it's a reply, it says at.
Okay,
so welcome to Twitter.
Out. Yeah, I'm,
for some of those people, I think most of our listeners have an idea about Twitter.
No, I can't. Every time I go in, I keep telling you. I
will help you with Twitter. So let's get back to our show. Let's
Sorry.
End the
oh,
show.
Yeah. Go ahead. End the show.
So we were done. Facebook.
Twitter.
So, night, everybody.
Good night.
Night.
See you next week.
See you next week.